in light of the eclipse. Sometimes the church embarrasses me.
Are you talking about all the doomsday?
Yes, yes. It's I wanted to say, where did what?
Somebody marked themselves safe from all the doomsday.
Oh, but I saw one of those, and
that's a good one.
So I'm sitting here like, what? What Bible are you reading?
So looking at Papa from a different lens.
So Shelly, that's what's in my head this morning.
Yes.
It's like, why? Dee ran into Bob at the gas station yesterday.
Okay. Are you okay, Bob?
He got shot.
She sees a guy that
looks like somebody I know.
Looks like somebody I know.
But he doesn't live here.
So what's her thinker is going, that's not Bob. He doesn't live here.
Okay.
Right? Hold on to that thought for a second. Thinker's telling her that can't be Bob. Okay. I saw this sort of like in light of that. This you know the singer Adele?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
There was a this. It was like a there was this competition of people singing Adele songs.
Wow.
Okay, and somebody showed me this thing. It was kind of cute. It's like, so Adele goes in costume, gets made up, and enters the contest.
Oh, fun!
And it's hilarious because she's there like one at a time going on stage. Oh, I'm gonna sing this. And she had like, it didn't look like her. And they're singing, and she, of course, knocking it out of the park.
One note, and everybody was like,
did you see this one?
Yes.
Did you see? So, and the judges, they're like, she's good. and it was the funniest thing because just like seeing Bob, mm-hmm. they're like, nothing here registers that Adele is going to be on this stage singing, right? So I don't. It just doesn't compute.
Right,
I mean, you're just like, look at her, right? We see what we expect to see. So here I am, doomsdayers.
Yeah.
Right? What do I expect to see? Got it? Because I'm. Mm-hmm. How about this? What you believe, it determines what you're going to see. Okay? So if I believe that this Bible. It's full of rules,
yep.
Right? That I've got to keep these rules to please him. You know what I'm going to see in everything I read?
You're going to see rules.
I'm going to see rules about how I need to please him. If I'm looking for end of the world, guess what I'm going to find in scripture, right? If I'm thinking, I need to avoid sin, or he's going to be mad at me, I'm going to find sin on every page. Right? Fine, what's happening? My beliefs, I'll use your word, lens, right? It's like, it's filtering, just like my little eclipse glasses.
Yeah.
It's filtering what I'm seeing here. So, if my expectation is Jesus, guess what I'm going to see on every page of the Bible?
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Right? And honestly, it's like, it's like, to me, it's like Bible 101. Why was it written? It was written to reveal Jesus, right? you can look at it. That's why I love when Eric talks on Song of Solomon, which is the book in the Bible I went past. Come on, who did? Mm-hmm. Is it just me? I was probably uncomfortable with the language, right? And I'm like, okay, I don't need to hear that. And because in my head I'm like, where is he? And then he gets up here, and Eric teaches out of Song of Solomon, and what are we doing?
Oh yeah,
we're like,
yeah, our mouths are
because. In fact, were you there on that first day? Because you were here that day. And my
sister Lisa
was
here with
me. And so we're... I remember after he taught, we're like, get out of here! And remember Dee goes, part two! Because like, you can't leave us like hanging.
Yeah, it was.
And because what did he use for his filter on Song of Solomon?
Jesus.
Jesus. It's like, oh my goodness, all of a sudden, hey, I love the poems. Put Jesus in front of the poem and you're like, oh my goodness. Right? Read Psalms with Jesus in front of it and it's like, it's a different poem. Read the prophetic. Right? Sometimes if you read the Old Testament, you're like, oh, if you're a rule person or a God hates you sinner people, it looks pretty harsh. And then you read with Jesus like, he's coming, right? And
he rejoices to run his race.
Yes. It's like every time you turn a corner, it's like every story, it's like, it whispers Jesus. The opening of John 1. What? Come on, you Bible people. What's the opening of John 1?
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Word was God. So it's like all of a sudden it's like, okay, any preacher will tell you, if you read the Bible, they'll say, read it in context. I remember a seminary professor, it's always said, context, 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 context. Because if you want to play Google Christian, you will find a verse for pick a topic. Pick whatever bizarro thing somebody is out in politics or in social media land fighting for, and you're going to go, oh, there is a verse. Is that right? Context, 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 context.
It's like WebMD.
Yeah, yeah.
Show them a simple sniffle, and you might be dying.
Right.
You do have cancer.
And oh my God. Sniffle, sniffle, and this person's body might be, oh, that's a cold sniffle, sniffle, and that person's body. It might be cancer.
Yeah.
Why? Because there's a bigger store. There's a bigger package around sniffle, sniffle.
Yeah.
That's context. What's right? If my dad has a cough, it's bad. It's hard. It's a bad report. He's got a lung condition. Context. I get a cough. It's like, oh, stupid cough.
Be over it.
Cold.
Yes. Once a bigger, right? Context. Right. Context. If you looked it up in Merriam-Webster-ish, it'll actually talk about weaving a story, right? All the words tell a story, okay? Try to weave a story here and take Jesus out. I would like to suggest to you get a bad story. That's why... Yay, lenses. Yay, filters. Right? Look, if you're reading the Bible to find success, rules for principles of success, there are plenty of things there. They're going to say, oh, you're blessed if, oh, you're blessed if. You're find it, okay? If you're looking for rules for living, you're looking for rules for marriage, you're going to find some things there, right? You do it, I'm probably leapfrogging, but you do it disconnected from the author. The logos, which is what John talks about, he is the word. You do it apart from the context of him. All of a sudden it's like, wait, what does this really mean? Right? So you can read scripture and you can do it if you're a history buff, like Angel, or... Maybe you're like the prophetic imagery, which I would probably put in a lot in your camp, maybe. Those are lenses. In fact, here you go. I'll connect you with the church word, hermeneutic. That's what a hermeneutic is. You ever heard that word before? Bible mm-hmm. hermeneutic? It's the lenses. Mm-hmm. I'm going to look through history. I'm going to look through...
cultural context.
Yes! You ever see those, like the... Oh my gosh, the guys that go and dig in the...
Archaeologists.
There's an archaeology lens that left, right? And they have a... Oh, there are four scriptures. Right? So they're human hermeneutics, and they're tools for context. They're tools for weaving a story. Okay. But somewhere in there, if Jesus doesn't come in as this master lens on top of it, we end up with kind of a bad story. We miss the grace. We miss the knowledge. Go ahead.
Well, I was, you're just talking about this, and so I don't know what you guys, I was in Virginia during that eclipse, and Chris had gotten like real glasses, plastic, not paper ones. And so we were opening these up, getting them ready, and we're standing in the kitchen, and we put them on, and then we busted out laughing, because it's like this, and then we put them on, and everything went pitch black. I mean, they were kind of like a wraparound, like, it was like you were in a dark room. And then, but you could use them, and you could see the eclipse perfectly outside, totally pitch black. But it was just such a great, like, when you put on that Jesus lens, I think it is intended to block out all of the things and distractions and the opinions and thoughts and
so,
everything.
I'm only going to focus
on this.
So I've got this in my office. There's a suite of offices that I sit in, and there's a glass wall here in the hallway there that opens up into our office suite. And it just looks like any other glass wall, right? Like, oh, there's the people inside, you know? And, but it's special glass that, so our computers that are, you know, in our offices or on the rooms, if the computers are on, you look through the glass, I can see you perfectly through the glass. My computer, whoever, is blank. You can't see my computer. It filters out. It's like, that is the coolest thing, right? It's not shaded. It's not, it just blocks out. So anyway, I have no idea why I said that other than one of those glass things, right? Anyway, all right. Jesus, road to Emmaus. If I hop around, I'll hop around. That's all right. On the road to Emmaus, you know that story?
Yes.
Right after the resurrection? Do you remember the two guys with him? One of the things that he tells them, and you can read the story in Luke, at the last chapter of Luke, he says all the scriptures from Moses through the prophets, they're about me. Mm. Right?
Right.
Hermeneutic. Glasses. He tells them, all of this is about me. Right? You get to Revelation. This is where I'm probably was thinking and poking on the doomsayers this week. Right? They look, because that's where they go. Right? The opening of the book of Revelation, verse 1, Revelation 1:1, right? It opens with this. The revelation of
Jesus Christ.
Wait. It just gave you the Nicolas Cage answer key to the national treasure, right? The revelation of
Jesus Christ.
He just told you the hermeneutic. Told you the glasses to wear. Told you. Everything from here on out, Jesus. Right?
So you have a tendency to skip that particular line.
Right. So here we go. Oh, let's see. This is a tough one. So what's the book about?
Jesus.
Right? Jesus. And that means there's some interesting imagery in Revelation. Right? It won't make any sense without Jesus. And there's some letters he writes to the churches. Unless we do it with, right? When the angel tells John, He says, write what you see, right? So when we see what we're reading, it's like, what are we reading? Well, we're reading what John saw. And what did John see? Well, the key, John saw Jesus, right? So now I'm gonna say, okay, how do I understand what he's talking about? Because we get into some of this stuff. Like, remember when he says, oh, he's shining like the sun. He's like this. He's right. You're like, what? What does that mean? What does that mean? And I say, well, I don't know. But let's start with Jesus, right? How about one of the letters? He talks about the lampstands. Ooh, the lampstands. How do I interpret the lampstands? But then Jesus explains it. Because he says he's walking amongst the lampstands. And Jesus says, well, the lampstands are the churches. And so my Jesus glasses say, oh, Jesus is walking amongst the churches. So for a God who never leaves me, ever forsakes me, I'm sitting here looking for the goodness of this. I'm thinking, he's with us.
Right. So
Jesus is with the church. Jesus is walking with us. It's like, right? If we'll line up with him, we read these letters and it's like you can sit here and go, he's smacking us around. Right? But every one of them, there's a chance to encounter us.
Right.
The Gospels, and that Matthew and Mark and Luke, and then as we get into, they begin to like, what? Those are recording some. Here's what he did. Jesus did these things. We were with him. He did these things. Then we get into the letters, and we're like, oh no, he's got. Now we're gonna. I'm not hearing about his action. Now I'm hearing about his heart. Now I'm hearing about his thoughts, and he's got these, and his thoughts for us are good, right? Why is that this important? It's like, because as you're reading your scriptures, you're opening up the word. I don't believe you can be, you can have an encounter with Jesus and not be fundamentally changed. Would you say that? Yeah. I have a real encounter with him. Something about my, I love more. I'm more patient. I'm more kind. I'm more gracious. I'm more forgiving. I'm more, right? I can look at seasons of my life and it's like, he rocked my heart right here. He rocked my world. He did something. And all of a sudden I came out different, right? And in fact, I would tell you, you know, when I look at the doomsayers and their, you would look at their things, I couldn't help it. I would just be drawn to the stupid and I would go, what? Right? But I would read them and I'm like, I don't walk away hopeful. I don't walk away feeling, oh,
right.
I didn't have that, oh my gosh, isn't he so, I didn't at all, right? So something inside's like, who are you talking about? Because the one that I'm in love with makes my heart go,
right.
And leap and
Twitterpated.
Yeah. The Message Bible in 1 John says, if anyone says I love God and boasts about it, but goes on hating his brother or sister, thinking nothing of it, 1 John says, well, he's a liar. Right? If he won't love the person he can see, the verse says, how can he love the God he can't see?
Right.
Loving God includes loving people. You get you both, right? Then you've got this, so then you go, okay, that maybe those people didn't meet him. But then you got people like Paul, Apostle Paul, and I would call him a Christian, he was a terrorist.
Right? Yeah.
He was out killing Christians. So here's a guy that was totally zealous, on fire against them, and then, he has this total about face. What happened?
Encounter.
He had an encounter. Like the guy's, his whole world gets rocked, right? What happens? Like his perception, his like, his lenses, he was all this, gets rocked with the Jesus lens. It's like, right? He has this reality shift, right? And he's like this grace bomb. He's like this love bomb. And now when he shows up, it's like people are used to wanting to hear rules and lessons and, you know, things about performance. And all of a sudden he goes, ah, you don't get it. He just loves you. And so all of a sudden you get this new person because he encountered Jesus, right? And one of the things he says in 2 Corinthians, and I'll cut it short, but because there's a danger of looking at Scripture, interpreting it, teaching from it, telling you, this is what's true. There's a danger of doing that without having an ongoing, intimate relationship with Jesus, with Christ. Because you can actually turn something that's really beautiful into something ugly, and something that produces nothing but death. I mean, it takes you down a path of breaking things. And Paul's power, his authority, Paul's like rock your world came from his empowering presence, right? Not because he knew how to thump the sinners. And it says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 4. We carry this confidence in our hearts because of our union with Christ before God. Right? We don't see ourselves as capable enough to do anything in our own strength. For our true competence flows from God's empowering presence. He alone makes us adequate ministers who are focused on an entirely new covenant. Our ministry is not based on the letter of the law, but through the power of the Spirit. The Spirit of the law kills, but the Spirit, the letter of the law kills, but the Spirit pours out life. Okay? We've talked a lot about the flesh and the Spirit. You know, if you were sitting here trying to bend things, oh, that's a person that's reacting out of his flesh. Oh, this is a person who's clearly come under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And you could, you know, if I was to read the fruit of the Spirit, here, it's in Galatians. What is it?
Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, humility, self-control.
Well done. Right? So there's your list. There's your, I should see these things. Here's an interesting thing, and I'll sort of wrap up in this. You know what's not on that list? Let's see, what's the right? I wrote down certitude.
Certitude.
I'm absolutely certain of this. I thought, you ever been with other believers and they pull up a verse and they're so passionate, like, oh, this is what this means. And that same verse for you, you're like, that's not what it means to me.
Yeah.
You ever had that experience? I have lots, right? So yeah, so you have this option. I could debate him. I'm gonna debate this guy and let him know he's wrong, I'm right. You ever done that?
I have.
Right? I like to think I do less of that now. Right? How is it possible to have two believers, two lovers of Jesus, look at a verse, and all of a sudden they go, this means this. And everyone says, no, this means this. You don't have to answer that. I don't have a great answer necessarily. But I would tell you, and I've said this before, if it's Darla's birthday, and I give you a list of, here's what Darla likes, I've got 10 slots on my list. I'm gonna reduce Darla to 10 items.
and you're going to go to the store and buy a birthday present for Darla because you know Darla. There's the 10 things to tell Darla. And then I get her a gift, and it's like, oh, I didn't put it on my list, but it was probably like number 99 or 100 or 110 or 200 or 3. And you're like, what's the difference between your list and my list? I give you a list, and you spend time with it, you know what? But guess what my advantage is? I know her a lot better than you. I could tell you, well, you're right. And I'm right.
Yep.
The only difference is there's more of a relationship with her. There's a deeper relationship with her. There's a relationship that's had more bumps. There's a relationship that's gone through lots of highs and lots of lows. And that relationship deepens my understanding of her, right? Sometimes when I get into the Word, you're going to get a verse that you're going to go, this is so awesome. I'm writing a book on my truth that I have. And then 10 years later, you read your own book and you go, oh my God. Ever done that?
Well, not quite.
Yeah, maybe not a book, but I've read my journals.
A journal.
Where I've said this thing, and I'll go, wow. I can't believe I thought that. Was I wrong back then? No, I was growing. Mm-hmm. I was learning. And in my journey of encountering him, it's like, oh, there's more. Oh, it's deeper. I wouldn't say it that way. That now I wouldn't, right? Wrong, right? I would encourage you on those things. Pull out your grace. Pull out your love. We're in a crazy time in our nation where there's a lot of goofy, and the churches are getting real folded into the goofy, right? And you have a choice. You can sit here and go, oh my gosh, you're jacked up wrong. And some of them are. I would encourage you to do I get into debate and I'm going to have this firestorm on Facebook and social media? Please don't. But I would encourage you, tell your story. You don't have to throw somebody under the bus. You don't have to pull your hammer out and crush somebody. Tell your encounter story. Tell your Jesus showed up at night on my bed story. Tell your I was in the hospital room and this happened and then boom, this happened. Tell your miracle story. Tell your, right? Because every context, this is just more Jesus that's coming out. And it's like, oh goodness. So now all of a sudden I hear Eric talking about Song of Solomon. It's like, okay, I want to hear more, right? And I didn't have to go, you're wrong. You're so wrong about Song of Solomon. You're so wrong, it's wrong. Instead, I'm like, wow, I'm enjoying his encounter. I want to tell me more about your, right? What? The road to Emmaus. Jesus didn't go, oh, you idiots. You don't. I encourage you to go read the story. He doesn't go, you idiots. He sits down with them. Were they wrong? Yeah, yes, they were. Did they miss him? Yeah, they did. They had a meal, and then. But here's my favorite part, and I'll stop right here, because when you encounter him, when you get your Jesus lens groove on, and your something inside of you goes, oh, right? You have this moment where something inside of you resonates like, that was him. Right? And you heard his voice, and like Paul, you're never the same again moment. All of a sudden, your old 10-year-old journal just doesn't work anymore. I don't rip it up, by the way. I like to look at it and remember, oh, man, it's a good thing. And we'll talk about tearing statues down later. Stupid. But on the road to Emmaus, and I'll end with this, Luke 24, verse 32. After he goes, Jesus is gone.
And they said, weren't our hearts burning inside of us while he talked on the road and he opened the scriptures to us? Something inside of us, we're wired for burning. We're wired for connecting with him. We're wired for that moment with him. And so as you read your scripture, as you put on your Jesus glasses, and it's like the one you didn't expect it. Now, because I'm expecting to see him, I'm going to see him.
Yeah.
Right? So, God, I just want to thank you for Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
You change the story. When Jesus shows up, he changes the story. So, God, I don't always wear my Jesus glasses. And so today I want to put them on and keep them on. When I go to work, when I'm talking to my wife, when I'm texting with a friend, God, I just got my Jesus glasses on, and I'm ready for an encounter. I'm ready for something to stir inside of me. I'm ready for my mind to be changed. God, change our opinion today, in Jesus' name. Change our opinion, and that we love more like you. We sound more like you. We look more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Now,